Go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter number 1 tonight. We're just going to look through the creation. I hate that I don't know where everybody's at, but that's okay. We're here to learn, and we'll learn ourselves. And Genesis chapter number 1 tonight, we're looking at creation here in our Constitution. Genesis chapter 1. Our Constitution will say we believe in the Genesis account of creation as neither allegory nor figuratively. That means it's not prophetic. It's not stands for something and it stands for one thing, but it means another. We believe in the literal, but a literal historical account of the direct, immediate, creative acts of God without any organic or theistic evolutionary process. We don't believe that evolution had any work. We fully reject evolution as a whole. What they've done in our day and time is they have taken the theory of evolution because they could not prove it, and it's been totally debunked and totally disproven. What they've done now is they've rewritten the word evolution to mean adaptation. And I get people all the time, but they'll say, well, this evolved. No, that's adaptation. That's adaptation. That's something totally different. Adaptation is what you and I did. We are adapting to Kansas life. We're adapting to a colder climate than what it was in North Carolina during the winter. We are adapting. We are not evolving. That is totally different. Evolving is to go change from one thing to another. Gills on a fish change into lungs. Okay, that's evolution. There's nowhere, no evidence of that. So we reject evolutionary process. That man was created directly in God's own image and after his own likeness and not from previously existing forms of life. That all animal and vegetable life was made directly, and that God established law, and God's established law was that they should bring forth only after their own kind. That's very important. Y'all done? Okay. Just give it up. Okay, get her a coloring book. Let her color in the notebook, something. Okay. And I'm going to show you that. This is one of the things that confused me when I, because people are easily confused with this, Genesis chapter 1. So we're going to read through these scriptures that we have here on the Constitution, and we'll explain each one of them. Genesis chapter 1 now. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your help this evening. I pray, Lord, for those that are not here, that you would convict them and deal with their hearts, God, about being faithful, Lord. How are we to reach others, God? If we can't be faithful because of a football game or because of whatever else may get in our way, God, Lord, you're the most important thing in my life, God, and I want to represent you everywhere I go. And so I pray for your help and strength tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now that's singular. Both of those are singular at this point. You'll notice he'll go on and divide the heavens up. Here's where one of the problems that some people have. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now people will say, this is where the gap theory comes in. And they'll say, well, that's because the devil fell and destroyed this earth. They'll say, God never made anything void or darkness. Well, the Bible just says plainly right there that he did, okay? I just take it how God said. It does not mean that God made something bad. It says to me that God made the earth and that was it. At that point, he did not put plants. He did not put the sea. He did not. It was just a rock. That's all he did. That's not to say that God made something bad. It's like Brother Joe has told me, him making motorcycles. You got to start with something. Because you start with the frame doesn't mean that it's incomplete. But that's what some people, and they get sidetracked so easily about that because it says the earth was without form and void. It just means that it, to me, that it's a rock. That's it. That God just made the sphere of the earth with no plant life. There's no animal life. There's no atmosphere at this point. That does not mean that he made something bad. That does not mean that we should read into something and say, well, that means the gap theory that this is a time when God made the earth and the animals ruled and then God destroyed the earth, the dinosaurs. No, you're reading into something that God does not put there. And I can back it up with other scripture and we will. But it just says the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's it. There's nothing to read into that. Why people do, I don't understand that. And here's what he says. Now, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So at this point now, he's making something with the atmosphere or with the waters of the earth. That's it. He says in verse number 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God didn't, it's all taking place in the first day. God didn't make anything darkness. Well, right there it says he did. But only for the fact that he's explaining it to us in terms that we can understand. This does not mean anyway, shape or form, that God did not create this world in 7 days. 6 days and rest of the seventh. He said, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. See, there's nothing in there. God knew that we were going to need day and night. That's why he made day and night from day one. He called, verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So immediately we see that God has established the heaven and the earth. That to me, that's the space. That's the earth. He also established light and darkness. How did he do that when the sun and the moon is not created for days, for another couple of days? He, through himself, God, the Bible says, is light. God used his own light to light the earth, to start the first 24 hours, day and night. And he established the first 24 hours here. This is why you cannot take it as some kind of figurative or allegory or prophetic or anything like that. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. God is not establishing that yet. He's establishing a 24-hour period right from the start, and he calls the evening, and remember that, in the beginning here in the Bible, the day starts now. Now starts the new day for the Jew. Today, right now, would it be officially Monday for the Jew if they honor their calendar. The evening and the morning was the first day. So they've already had Sunday. Sunday on the Jews' calendar starts what we consider Saturday night. That's Sunday for them. The Sabbath day starts on Friday night for them. What they consider Sabbath, Saturday, starts technically Friday night when the sun goes down. That's the evening and the morning. That is the way their calendar works. So you got to remember that when you're reading the Bible. You also have to be very careful with the writings of the New Testament disciples. Because though they may have been Jews, some of them still looked more towards a Roman calendar of the day and then the night being a day. And so you just have to be very careful when you're reading those types. I just want to warn you. But anyway, so the evening and morning were the first day. So he established the day and the night. He established the heaven and the earth, the space and the earth, singular. And the evening and the fourth day, he established 24-hour period now. Verse 6, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. This is where God makes the atmosphere. This is where God makes the atmosphere. And we've talked about this. I believe before the flood that the atmosphere was a totally different atmosphere than what we have now. Because when you read the Bible, it's not till when It's not till when that it rains. Yeah, I'm looking at you. When does it rain in the Bible? Which is? Genesis? Genesis what? Chapter 6 or 7. Say one of them. It's chapter 7. Chapter 6, God judges. That's when man. Chapter 7 is when the flood begins. Right? Yes. Come thou, verse chapter 7. Come thou into the ark. Chapter 7 is the first time that it rains in the Bible. It's recorded rain in the Bible. Till that time, the atmosphere was different. We'll see that. Well, you see that when you read the flood, because he breaks up the heavens and breaks up the foundations of the great deep. Okay? So at this point, he's establishing the firmament of the heaven. This is the atmosphere. God made the ferment, divided the waters which were under the ferment from the waters which were above the ferment. And so it was so. What do we know about even our atmosphere now? What do we know about our atmosphere now? There's different layers. God told them that all the way back in Genesis, that there would be different layers. He divided the waters from under the ferment from the waters which were above the ferment, and it was so. God establishes right here that there was different. We just now found that out. We've just now found out that there's different atmospheres, but God told people all the way back here. And so he said, God made the ferment, divided the waters which were under the ferment from the waters which were above the ferment. And God called the ferment heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So not only now is he established the atmosphere, but he's also established heaven with a capital H. He's established his great throne. Verse number 9, and the Lord said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was so. So at one point, this entire earth was soaked, was covered in water. Again, God made the original earth dirt form, I believe. That God then bakes the water, soaks the earth in water. And now he's bringing the waters all into one place, and he calls it the sea. He calls the dry land earth. The dry land appeared, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Not perfect. Remember that. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Now this is important, because this is where the wording here is important, because many people, Mormons and other religions, they'll claim that there's more than one God because of that right, that statement right there. Because it says that he commanded the seed and the tree to bring forth after his kind. And they'll say, well, that means God, there's more than one God. No, that's not what it's talking about. He's talking about the seed itself. No matter how many times, brother, you plant a tomato seed, you're not going to get a banana. Why? Because God programmed them. Ain't it amazing? I've been, you know, my wife and I probably driving her crazy trying to learn more about gardening and stuff like that. Ain't it amazing how that God programmed in that little seed to know exactly when to come up for the right conditions for each one of them? They're all different. They're all different. If you plant certain seeds, especially lettuce seeds and cold vegetable seeds like that in the middle of summer, guess what they won't do? They won't germinate. Why is that? Because they know if they germinate, that the hot will kill them. The same goes true for other pepper plants. Peppers won't germinate unless the soil temperature really is around 80 degrees, close to 80 degrees. Peppers have a hard time germinating. Why is that? Because pepper plants will die if it gets too cold on them. So God's programmed it in each one of these, and he says it right here in Genesis, that they'll bring forth after their kind. No matter how much you plant tomatoes, there's no cucumber going to come out. If you want cucumber, you got to plant what? You got to plant a cucumber seed. That's what he says there. He says that the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. Grass brings forth grass. Tree yielding fruit whose seed is in itself after his kind. You plant an apple seed all day long, you're not getting grapes. Okay? Not happening. You plant apples, you're not getting oranges. You plant strawberries, you're not getting bananas. It's just not happening. God programmed them. And he said that it would bring forth after its kind. Now you can cross-pollinate certain things. Certain pepper plants and tomato plants. But guess what? They still don't bring forth something else. Now you can, they say, I don't know. But I've heard people, you can take like a pepper flower, pollen from a pepper, and put it in a tomato and make a spicy tomato. I've never tried it. I've heard people say it's true, but that I believe. But it still does not bring forth a pepper. God programmed it. God wrote it in these things. God, they know. The same thing with animals. These people are like, man, all this came forth by evolutionary processes over millions and billions. Ain't it amazing? Just the relief, just to believe God said it, and that's it. That's all it takes. Then we don't have to sit around and try to guess and think, man, how did the bee evolve? How did the bee know this? God programmed the bee to know this. That one thing, I don't know, is it in the God of Wonders? No, it may be in the other series, that Creatures That Defy Evolution. Brother, you've been around here out here a lot longer than we have. How many of these birds you see out here teaching their young how to build nests?
They just know something.
They just know. All the birds I ever saw in North Carolina, I never saw them having classes. All right, kids, y'all come on. I know we like the movies, Nemo, Finding Nemo, and we get all the little fish get together and they go to school. Is that how it really happens? No. Oh, the clownfish over millions of years has evolved to be able to lay eggs in that poisonous, what's it called? Is it Nemo? Is it Anemo? Whatever it is, y'all know what I'm talking about. How is that possible? If every time that clownfish touched it, it kills every other fish, what would it have done to the clownfish? It would have killed it every time. Had God not wrote in that, then its ability to be able to lay it in there. You see, but that's how they'll convince you. That's what I love, brother. I got to get that one. The Creatures That Defy Evolution. The man that does it, he's not trying to be, but maybe he is, but some of it's funny. He's like, you know, talks about the draft. And it's amazing when you study the draft of the neck. And he says, you know, what the draft has to do to be able to take water and bend down its head. To be able to take water, there's valves in its neck. And they'll say, well, that evolved over millions and millions. And the guy goes, so this is how it works. That first giraffe is laying there getting water and has got his neck extended out and sees a lion, jerks his head up and passes out because of the blood loss. And he's laying there dying going, I should evolve in some way to be able to do this. That's what they would have you believe. But reality is, for a giraffe, do you remember how big the giraffe's heart is? Do you remember how big a grown giraffe's heart is? Do you remember? Grown giraffe's heart, I think, was 2.5 feet. The blood pressure from that heart beating, if it was laid over, would kill that giraffe. Think about that. This is how good God is. That giraffe, if he bent down, if his blood pressure, with as much blood pressure as it takes to pump blood up its neck, if he leaned down and kept that same amount of blood pressure, it would literally, the guy said, blow the brains out.
Brain dead.
It would kill that giraffe. But the valves in there shut off while he's leaning down. How does he do that? How does he know? God did it. But on top of that, in the back of his brain, the guy said there's a mush back there. That what it does is holds certain amount of blood. So while he's down there drinking, it's holding blood so that when he picks back up, it's like a sponge. It squeezes that blood so that it's able to get blood into his brain. So if he needs to immediately run off, it can. It just amazes me I could talk about it all day. I'm getting sidetracked. Anyway, it's just amazing what God designed when you read this. But they bring forth after their kind. Now, we got to understand there are certain things that people say, well, this can be crossed and that can be crossed. There are certain things that are of the same kind. Wolves and dogs are of the same kind. Chances are that's where dogs came from. It was in their genetic ability that God made them, that we could breed them down to have a bulldog, that we could breed them down to have a Alaskan Husky or a miniature pincher. God put it in there. We're breeding. When we look at all these different kinds, we think, oh man, you know, where'd they all come from? How'd they all fit on the ark? But it wouldn't have been that way. There wouldn't have been, how many breeds of dogs are there now? Recognized breeds? You don't even know this. How much? 100 and some different breeds. It ain't. There wouldn't have been 100 and some different breeds of dogs, 50 breeds of cats or whatever. I don't even know how many breeds of cats there are. There wouldn't have been that. It would have just been two of each kind. It could have been, two of these kind of cats, two of these kinds of dogs or wolves, and we've bred them down through that. So that's things that you need to understand. Let me keep moving on now. But it bring forth after their kind. They can only bring forth after their kind. Dogs are an animal. We look at them as domesticated things, but it's only something we've domesticated ourselves. Same with cats. There are cats that are not domesticated. We've made them that way. Domesticated means to make it a pet, babe. Just means to make it a pet. Okay. Anyway, I got the ring on. So that was the evening. All right, now, verse 13, the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So God even gives us the lights, the stars, the moon, the sun. God gives them to us for signs, for seasons, for days and for years. He did not say that we're to believe in astrology now. It's not that kind of thing. These are the different things. Out here, I don't know how it is here, brother. Maybe you know better than me. Is there a lot of planters, farmers that plant according to the phase of the moon and stuff? My dad used to, when they were raising crops and stuff, they were really big into that. My dad jokes around with him because every time I don't understand it, when an animal dies, I dig a hole, I put something in the hole, and I fill it back up, and there's less dirt than when I started, even with something in the hole. And Dad said, you're burying it according to the wrong sign of the skies. Well, I ain't got time to wait for another phase of the moon or whatever. But Daddy said that, my dad says that's true, that if you they would follow the thing, the almanac, that's what the almanac is. Yes. That there's a lot. But God said that you could. Now, God said that they would be for those things. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It's just, there's no different than that, than waiting for whatever the last frost date is for your area, according to the signs of the year and the month, knowing when the last frost date's going to be so that you can plant your stuff. Same thing. God gave them. He said, let them be for signs, for seasons, for years, and for days. And God said after the flood that until this earth is destroyed, this is why I don't care about global warming and global climate change and all that garbage. It's not that I'm trying to destroy this earth, but God said that while this earth remained, there would be seasons, night and day, winter, summer, spring. God said all that would come. And I just choose to believe God more than man. He said, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And so it was. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. When you think about that, He made the stars also. When you study about the stars and you realize how much power is in them, and God's just like, oh, He made the stars also. I believe that God's just, not that God's just trying to dismiss what He's done, but to Him, though those stars have all that power, to Him, we're more important than the stars. Even though the Bible says He calls them all by name. He's got a name for every star, brother. But yet, He thinks more highly of us because all he says is, and he made the stars also. That's it. He says, verse number 17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth. That was the fourth day. Now this is day five. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. That means they're going to continue to bring forth after their kind. Not that that's something weird thing. Not that God's, there's other gods or anything like that. It means that each thing brings forth after its kind. God set the bounds. This is why you're either going to take God or you're going to take man. God said that things can only bring forth after their kind. A fish is not going to evolve into a bird, a monkey, or any of that other stuff. You're either going to take God at his word or man at his word. You cannot reconcile the two of them. I've said this, and I still stand on this, and I still believe this. You cannot reconcile the two of them because God said they're only going to bring forth after their kind. There is no fish that's going to evolve into a bird. It's just not going to happen. As some men have said, God just threw the platypus in there just to keep man dumbfounded. That's all. You know, there is nothing. There's never been any evidence of evolution ever found. There's never been some cross creation, whatever the term is, of something evolving. None of that stuff. He says that they bring forth after their kind. This is day five. The whales, the living creatures, which move in the waters, move abundantly. God saw that the winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. And let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And now on day six, he says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So that day six now, he's not only making man, but he's also making all the beast of the earth. And verse number 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There's nothing else but male and female. There is not 57 different genders and all this other garbage in our day and time. That is a spit in the face of God is what they're trying to do. That for people to say, well, I'm a man trapped in a woman's body is hogwash and garbage. You're a demon trapped in a man's body is what you are. A demon trapped in a woman's body. That's what they are. He said, verse 28, God blessed them and said unto them. So he mentioned one little line about the stars, but he goes on about man and what man's responsibility is. And I've not got time to go into that tonight, but he says that they'll have dominion. He said, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything, living thing that moveth upon the earth. We are in charge of it. We are to be good stewards of it. I don't believe in destroying this earth. I don't believe in trashing it. But I also believe that God did make us have dominion over it. There is no monkey's life that's worth a human's life. There is no cat life or dog life that is worth a human's life. It's not no toad or frog or fish or fowl of the air or any other thing is equivalent to a man or woman or a child's life. God gave us the ability to have dominion over them. I do believe in being good stewards of them. I believe man has learned a lot the last 100 years, especially with things that we have done, especially with conservation and things. We about hunted buffalo out of extinction. There's two things that we know of, probably more than that since we've been in school, but two things in school that we were taught that were in abundance that have been hunted out of extinction that we know of in the last 150 years. The dodo bird and the carrier pigeon. The carrier pigeon used to be in abundance, they said. Hundreds of thousands of them. And we've hunted them out of extinction. Buffalo used to roam this area. Hundreds of thousands, millions of them. We almost hunted them to extinction. I believe that man absolutely lived alongside dinosaurs. And I believe after the flood, when man started eating meat, guess what? What's the first thing that man does when they move into an area? One of the first things they do, what do we go in and do? I just said it. We go in and we hunt whatever out of extinction. So did we hunt where dinosaurs go extinct? We hunted them out of extinction. Hunted them to extinction, not out of extinction. Guess you can't go that way. Man has killed. I mean, look at the area. Well, here in Kansas, there's just now getting back to having the mule deer coming back in. Things like that. There's places where deer were almost hunted totally out of extinction. Or hunted to extinction. I keep saying it wrong. Man is that way. Anyway, I ain't got time for that tonight, but... So here's where God says now in verse 29, God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. Now God gave Adam and Eve and gave them, they were to only eat plant-based diet. Animals only ate a plant-based diet at this time. It's not till after the flood and the curse continues to get worse and worse that God tells them that they can eat meat. And God says it's okay to eat meat. If somebody doesn't want to eat meat, that's their choice. I got to hurry up. I'm way behind. So he gave us herbs to eat, and to every beast of the field, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, have I given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything he made, and behold, it was very good, not perfect. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Man is not perfect. God said it's very good. God said it was very good because God gave man the ability to have a free will to think so that we would freely worship him. God gave you the ability, just because you're raised in the preacher's home, you still have the free will to worship and choose to serve him. You can choose to go out in the way of the world when you get to be old enough, and so be it. God still, just because you're born in a preacher's home, does not mean that you're forced to serve him. You're still given that free will just like everybody else. God said it's very good. He didn't say it was perfect. A lot of people, this is where people will get people tripped up. Did God not create everything perfect? And people don't know what the scripture says. Is that not the exact same thing that the devil did to Eve? Is that not exactly what he did to Eve to get her tripped up on words? What did he say? Yea, hath God said? And what, he's just trying to get her tripped up? Oh, we're not even supposed to touch it, at least we die. God told her what? The day they eat thereof, you shall surely die. But the woman misquoted. Satan just put a little bit of doubt in her mind. He said, yea, God said, is that really what God said? And she said, well, God said it the day that we touch it. And that little bit of subtle doubt, a little bit enough, was just enough probably for her to reach up there and touch it. Well, that happened. I don't know. But God said that he created everything and it was very good, not perfect. Don't get that confused, okay? Don't get that confused. I'm going to cut off for tonight here and we'll continue on next week with this thought on this, okay? But... Everything brings forth after his kind. God, that's the way. God did not use evolution. God brought forth after his kind. We see all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I didn't go through that tonight in the creation, but you cannot reconcile the two of them. Either it comes forth after its kind, or it evolved from something. It cannot be reconciled. From Genesis chapter 1, you see that evolution and creation cannot be reconciled. You're going to have to believe one of those two things. And I hope that you believe what God said. Because God said, yea, all men are liars, and let God be true, and all men be found liars. All of us men are liars. Every man, woman, child tell lies, whether we wing to or not. God said that he would bring forth, that these things would bring forth after their kind. No matter how many times you plant an acorn from an oak tree, you're not going to get a pine tree. It's just not going to happen. God designed things. When you really think about that, you look at the seed and how God designed certain seeds to be able to come forth in cold climates, some to be able to come forth in hot climates. When you look at the animals that we have in our day and time, that God's designed some animals to be able to live in extreme cold and some to flourish in extreme hot. It just shows you the handiwork of God, that God's not limited by to do everything exactly the same. And all these different... Hey, just because some things look alike doesn't mean that this evolution... You know, one of the things is they'll take like the paw of animals. Certain paws of animals even look like the bone structure of that, like even a whale's fin. And they'll say, see, that proves evolution because they all had to come from a singular thing. Ford, Chevy, and Dodge all have pretty much the same motor. Does that mean that they all are made by the same company? No. It just proves that when a design works, it continues to be used. And if God found a design that worked, he just continued to use that. That does not prove evolution. That proves that God, one of the things that we used that they had in school that my kids have never seen, you probably remember, you I may have too, brother. They had all these different fetuses, the little embryos of the babies. Did you ever see that chart in school? And how they all pretty much look alike. Does it prove it? It proves that God designed everything, and he found a design that worked and stayed with it. That doesn't disprove God. But the devil wants, just like he did with Eve, he wants to sow a little bit of doubt and confusion in your mind. He wants it. If the foundation, that's why we establish, that's what's on the church sign, that's what we establish this church on that. Psalm 11, verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what with shall the righteous do? And that's what the devil's trying to do. The devil is trying to destroy the foundations of this country. The devil's trying to destroy the foundations of this world by attacking Genesis chapter number 1. When Charles Darwin came up with his theory of evolution 150 years ago, whatever it was to just, he did not realize how much of a tool of the devil he really was. Sad part was that Charles Darwin at one point was a Methodist preacher. And ends up being a tool for the devil and turns millions and billions of people away from God because of his false teaching. You can stand firm on God's word. Because every day they'll continue to come out and prove themselves wrong. Science is evolving. Science is changing. Yes, it is. That's why Paul told Timothy, I think it is, to avoid profane science. I think it maybe is the way it's worded. Because Paul was telling Timothy, hey, they're going to continue to come out and try to find ways to disprove God. But you just hold true. You just hold to what God's word says. And God will be found out true and every man a liar. Father, thank you for the day that you've made. Lord, thank you for these gathered here this evening. And God, just I pray, bless the work here, God, that people would get faithful and put you first, God. And we would stand firm on Genesis chapter 1 and 2 especially. And the foundation that you've laid there, God, would be a great foundation for this church. Bless and be with us as we go out this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.